We don't yet know when, where, or how many presidential debates there will be this fall, but bookmakers may already be giving odds on the contenders. Jim Fallows, who's national correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly, watched videotapes of George W. Bush and John Kerry debating other candidates in past races, going back to the beginning of their political careers. His account of their debating instincts, abilities, and even possible shortcomings is the cover story of the July-August issue of The Atlantic. It's titled When George Meets John, and Jim Fallows joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Let's begin first with your analysis of George W. Bush's debating style. You went back to the 1984 Texas governor's race. His first race for statewide office, he debated Ann Richards, the original silver-tongued Texas orator, feared for her wit and her debating skills. Tell us what you saw on that tape.
It was quite impressive and surprising in a number of ways. Question by question, and over the course of the entire debate, Bush was by far the more eloquent figure. And not only did he go on to win the election, but clearly he won that debate, no matter how you want to score it.
Let's listen. We have a clip from that debate.
I think the question of qualifications is one that is really important. He laid himself out to be, for all of us to see on television, a successful businessman. And yet we know that as a consequence of those businesses, all five of them on which he sat on the board lost $371 million. And that may not seem very much to a businessman, but seems
I'm proud of my business record. I invite anybody to come and see the ballpark at Arlington as an example of entrepreneurship. Someone who was willing to think differently, a group of people who thought a big dream and achieved it. I think that this is a diversion away from not talking about the issues that face Texas. I want to discuss welfare, education, I want to discuss the juvenile justice system, and I think an attempt to smear my business record is simply a diversion away from trying to determine what's best for Texas. Listen, if Texans are happy with the status quo, if Texans want someone who has spent her entire adult life in politics, they should not be for me. But if Texans are interested in a brighter future, in one in which they will have a governor who is not constrained by the current ways of doing things in Austin, Texas, then they ought to give me a chance to be the governor.
Interestingly, that clip contained, I think, two of the small handful of mistakes that Bush made during that hour debate. Whereas the rest of the time, what was interesting about the 10 years earlier version of the man who's now our president is how very few verbal gaffes he made. No misinvented words, no sentences that drifted off into nowhere, no kind of inanities. And let me try to illustrate this way. At his best 10 years ago, the then candidate for governor was very effective in being able to take whatever you as a questioner asked him and seem to address it, but then seem to make the connection to the point he wanted to make. And what is less effective about him now in his recent public appearances, his press conferences, his infrequent interviews on TV, is how clumsy that connection is. You can see him more or less having a file card to the point he wants to make and simply jumping into that, not being able to respond to the asked question.
I mean, there is, people will note, a very recent example, perhaps, of what you're talking about. In April, the president had a press conference. A reporter asked the president what his regrets were after September 11, 2001. And President Bush gave this answer.
I wish you'd have given me this written question ahead of time so I could plan for it. John, I'm sure historians will look back and say, gosh, he could have done it better this way or that way. I'm sure something will pop into my head here in the midst of this press conference, all the pressure of trying to come up with an answer, but it hadn't yet. I would have gone into Afghanistan the way...
Do you have an analysis as to why the president's public aspect seems to your mind, have changed over the past few years?
The question you've asked is one I had the hardest time trying to answer while working on this article. One hypothesis advanced most forcefully by the linguist George Lakoff of Berkeley is that President Bush sounds different now on purpose, in a way like Dwight Eisenhower. George Bush thinks that the right aura of command, of strength, of firmness, of resolve is conveyed by not being that silver-tongued, not being that good with words. And so that's one theory. A second hypothesis, which a number of psycholinguists told me, is that there's a particular form of...
Excuse me, I've never heard that term. Do you mean linguists who are mad? No. Or Or
there's an actual field called psycholinguistics, believe it or not.
Okay.
But people from this field say that there are particular forms of dyslexia or aphasia which the president's symptoms of expression now resemble. What seems to be problematic for that line of analysis is he didn't used to talk this way. There is a third hypothesis which actually is closest to being plausible for me, advanced mainly by his associates in Texas. And they said that when he was in Texas, everything about the environment was comfortable and natural to him. The people he dealt with, the issues he had to talk about, the poses he had to strike, and that is all sort of less true when it comes to national office. And of the theories, that's the one that seems, you know, most plausible to me.
Let's talk about John Kerry. John Kerry has one way or another been a public figure for just about 30 years. There's a lot of material to go through. What have you noticed about his debating style over the years?
One point in contrast to the changing sound of George Bush is how amazingly consistent John Kerry has been throughout this long, long career as a public figure. I mentioned in my article that there was a recent episode of Meet the Press where the current 60-year-old John Kerry was on, intercut with a film of the 27-year-old John Kerry the first time he was on Meet the Press, and it was very, very difficult to tell which man was talking if you couldn't see the face and see the difference in the hair color. The other thing which is surprising about John Kerry is, again, like him or dislike him, many people find his formal oratorical style too formal, somewhat off-putting, somewhat stuffy, somewhat senatorial. I found that in debates, he's not that way. He has the kind of leopard-like grace of a skillful prosecutor, of somebody who's interrogating people and knows, without getting flustered, how to kind of move in relentlessly on his prey.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a clip from the most, I guess, followed set of debates he had were ones against Bill Weld, who ran against him for the Senate in 1996, Governor Weld then of Massachusetts. I believe Governor Weld starts, they're talking about their different positions on the death penalty.
Could you look into the camera, perhaps at Ann Scavina, who's here, whose son was a Springfield police officer cut down by a murderer, tell her why the life of the man that murdered her son is worth more than the life of her son, the police officer.
Well, Governor, I would say to you, I would say to her, and I would say to every citizen in this country, it's not worth more. It's not. It's not worth anything. It's scum that ought to be thrown into jail for the rest of its life and that ought to learn day after day the pain and hell of living with a loss of freedom and with the crime committed. But the fact is, Governor, that, yes, I've been opposed to death penalty. I know something about killing. I don't like killing. And I don't think a state honors life by turning around and sanctioning killing. Now, that's just a personal belief that I have.
Absent an enormous gaffe, like President Ford declaring Poland free when he debated Jimmy Carter, how important are debates to actually deciding an election?
They seem historically to have been pretty important, and not for reasons that have anything to do with debates as taught in law school or logic class, where it's the interplay of ideas. It seems instead to be unintended and often unpredictable revelations of character and temperament and overall positioning.
After watching their past performances, where do you think each candidate excels and where would each candidate have to be careful?
There's almost perfect asymmetry between the two of them because George Bush can be quite effective when he has taken the time to prepare himself to be sort of Reagan-like in consistent on-messagism. Mm-hmm. For John Kerry, he's best the more under pressure he is, the more paradoxically relaxed he seems to become. And so this means that the reason these things will be worth watching is that presumably one of them or the other will not be able to present himself the way he wants. There'll be some unexpected revelation, and either will be that Kerry manages to sort of discomfort Bush, or Bush sort of maneuvers Kerry into sounding pompous and overly complicated and self-contradictory. Mm-hmm. And it's really impossible to tell ahead of time which one will be able to make the other look that way.
Jim Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic Monthly. Mr. Fallows, thanks very much.
My pleasure.